Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Tzadi Gimel. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a specially marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you will find on the second wide line of Daf Tzadi Gimel. I would like to point out that the first half of the Mishnah was already dealt with in our previous shiur. So we will not be offering an explanation of the first half of the Mishnah, but rather directing your attention to the shiur of Gemara Markings, Daf Tzadi Beis, the audio recordings. Now, the Mishnah. Koitzetz Odom, we of course mentioned that has to do with a fixing of an increased income in lieu of the food allocation that a person is ordinarily entitled to as a worker. So he can do that al yedei atzmo, al yedei beno uvito hagdolim, al yedei avdoi v'shivchaso hagdolim, al yedei ishto, if they shiyesh bohen das. Avol eino koitzetz al yedei benoi uvito haktanim velo al yedei avdoi v'shivchaso haktanim velo al yedei behemto v'nei she'ein bohen das. As we said, all of that was dealt with in our previous shiur. Hasirchas apoylim lasoiz b'neta ravai shelo hare elu lo yochlu. This too, by the way, is a point that we discussed in our previous shiur. The next couple lines as well, I mistakenly said that the first half of the Mishnah was dealt with in our previous shiur. In fact, almost all of the Mishnah. As you'll see, the Gemara turns its attention to essentially the last line of the Mishnah. So let's continue. One who hired workers to work in his net to ravai, hare elu lo yochlu, they are not to eat, as we explained in our previous shiur. Net to ravai is eaten within the walls of Jerusalem. Im lo hodion poide u ma'achilon. If he didn't inform the workers that it's net to ravai, so he, the owner, must redeem the fruits and enable them to eat from it. Nisparsu igulov nispatchu chav yosef hare elu lo yochlu v'im lo hodion me'aser u'ma'achilon. Shomrei peros oichlin mehilchos medino avolo min ha'torah. People that are hired to guard fruits, they are entitled to eat from the produce, but as a result of social practice, common practice, but lo min ha'torah, the Torah does not allocate that kind of a food situation to workers. These, of course, are fruits that have already undergone a certain level of production that will now be clarified further in the Gemara. Shomrei Peros Omar Rav Lo Shonu Ela, the din that they do not eat min haTorah but only mehilchas medina is a reference to Shomrei Ginois Upardesin. They are guarding fruits that are attached, and it's not at the stage of Gemar Malocha. We have learned in the past that workers are entitled to eat produce that they're working on that is attached at the stage known as Gemar Malocha, at the final stage of production. But the Shomrei Ginos Upardesin, people guarding gardens and orchards, the fruits are not at that stage of Gemar Melacha. Therefore, they do not eat Min HaTorah, but they do eat Mehilchas Medina. Rashi adds, all the more so, someone who is doing actions, not just watching, but he's doing actions to vegetation while attached, like, say, weeding out undesirable produce from amongst that which is still attached and growing. That's not a Gemar Melacha. If we're going to entitle workers to eat at that stage, that's only Mehilchas Medina. That's because it became common practice. Continuing the Gemara, Avol Shomri Gitos Ve'Aremois Oichlim Min HaTorah. Those people that are hired to watch produce at the press, a geese, a gas, is a wine press. Aremos are piles of grain, so they are detached, and you're dealing with produce prior to Gemar Melacha for Meiser, prior to the stage in which you have to separate the tithes. So detached produce at that point entitles he who is working on it to eat Min HaTorah. And included in this entitlement are guards, people that are merely watching it. Kosovar, Rav is of the opinion, Mishamer, one who is watching, it's as if he is doing an action. The Gemara is assuming, as you can see, that it's clear that one who is doing an action, who is physically and proactively involved with the produce, is entitled to eat Min HaTorah, and Rav is extending that idea to someone who is watching as well. Ushmul Amar, Lo Shonu Elo Shomrei Gisos Varemos. Shmuel tells us that when we speak of someone watching being entitled to eat Mehilchas Medina as a result of common practice, not Min HaTorah, but common practice, that's a reference to the ones watching the detached fruits. Avol Shomrei Ginos Upardesim, but those who are guarding attached produce, Einon Ochlin, Lo Min HaTorah V'lo Mehilchas Medina, certainly not Min HaTorah, and not even as a result of common practice. They're not entitled to eat. Kosovar, now Shmuel is of the opinion, Meshamer Lavko Isa Maisa Domi, one who is guarding is not considered as if he is doing an action. Therefore, there's no chance, as far as Shmuel is concerned, as any guarding situation resulting in a Torah level eating entitlement. Maximum that Shmuel will allow for is guarding detached produce, that if one were involved with something proactive, he would be entitled to eat Min HaTorah. So as a guard of the detached produce, you're entitled to eat, but only Mehilchas Medina, as a result of common practice, giving them to eat. Mosiv Ravacha Bar Ravuna. Here we're going to now ask a question on Shmuel. Hameshamer es hapora metame begodim. One who is guarding the cow. Which cow? The special red heifer. The cow that's used for its ash value after it's slaughtered, it's burnt, and its ashes are mixed with water. The pora aduma. So someone is hired to watch it. Rashi points out, from the point it's slaughtered until the ash is gathered, his clothing become defiled. Let us point out that the laws governing defilement surrounding the red heifer are learned from Psukim in the Torah, and there are a number of chumras stringencies that are attached to that realm of halacha. So Rav Acha feels from this source that Mishamer must be considered something of a proactive nature. Ve'i amris Mishamer lav goisa maisa domi, if you're going to go like Shmuel, hold like Shmuel, that guarding is not considered active, it's not proactive. Amai matame begodim, why should there be tumas begodim? Why should the clothing of that individual be considered defiled? Omar Rabo Bar Ula. So Rabo answers on behalf of Shmuel, Gzeiro Shemo Yozis Bo Ever. It's a, we'll say, a rabbinic defilement that's imposed in anticipation of the possibility that the guard might end up physically moving a limb of that Pora Aduma. And that would be worthy of Tuma Doraisa. That would be Tuma that is conveyed on a Torah level. So here we have an example of a rabbinic Tuma imposed simply as a means of keeping a certain distance or deterring the individual from moving a limb. Mosiv Rav Kahana. Again, we have a question focused on Shmuel. Hamishamer Arba V'chomesh Mikshois. One is guarding four or five different growing areas in which kishuin, a type of vegetation, is raised. And that area where the kishuin grow is called miksha. So someone is watching four or five mikshos. Hareze lo yamale kresoi me'echod mehen. He is not to fill himself up in eating from only one of them. Elo mikol echod ve'echod oichel v'cheshbon. He should, let's say, eat a prorated amount per area. So let's say if he's watching five mikshos and he wants to eat from them, let him eat a fifth of his capacity from each one. Ve'i amris mishamer lavkoi semaisa domi amai ochel. If you're going to say that guarding is not like an action, it's, in other words, if you're going to hold like Shmuel, amai ochel, why is he entitled to eat? Rashi says, this is a couple lines down from here, amai ochel ho amris shomrei mechuber. You said that Shmuel said that guarding that which is attached, afim hilchas medina lo achli, even based on common practice, they're not entitled to eat. Elo al korchach, rather, if you're going to entitle these this type of guard to eat, so you have to say ka'isa ma'isa domi, it's like an action, v'achli mihu mihilchas medina. Kimasnisen, thereby being entitled to eat, based on Hilchis Medina, the idea of a common practice, like the Mishnah, Michlal, and then we would infer from that, the Shomre Talush, one who's guarding something that's detached, Afilu Midoraisanami Ochli, he would be entitled even on a Torah level to eat. And naturally, all of this is against Shmuel. Shmuel had said that the entitlement of a shomer to eat mehilchus medima is limited to detached produce. Here we see a shomer eating, as it appears right now, eating from attached produce. In Shmuel's realm of thinking, there was no possibility of a shomer, of a guard, eating from attached produce. Omar Rav Simi Bar Ashi the Akurin Shanu. The source here is dealing, in fact, with detached kishuim. They're akurin, uprooted, hence they're detached. And as shomrei tolush, they're eating mehilchas medina. And that is, of course, Shmuel's opinion. The Gemara asks, akurin v'halo nigmaro melachton lemaiser. If you're going to describe the shomer here as watching kishuin that are uprooted, then there's no entitlement to eat. They have reached the stage at which you would have to tithe beforehand. And we know that the entitlement to eat is up till the produce reaches the final stage with regard to the tithe requirement. Here, if you're dealing with kishuim that are detached, they have thereby reached their tithing requirement. Workers are not allowed to eat from that. The Gemara answers, Shelo nital pikas shelahem. They have not yet reached their final stage for at which point you have to tithe, because their pikas, the pikas is a type of blossom that's attached to the kishuin, and only when that blossom is detached, then is it obligated to be tithed. Omar Ravashi, and here we have a long comment, and we have a long marking to indicate this. Kavosei de Shmuel Mistabro. The opinion, the approach of Shmuel is most likely. We have a Rashi to take note of toward the lower part of the narrow lines. Kishmuel Mistabro, the Oise b'mechubar, that one who is working on attached produce b'shal she'eno gemar malocha, at a point in time where it hasn't reached its final stage of activity vis-a-vis its attached status, afilu mihilchas medina lo ochil. As that was Shmuel's opinion, that even based on hilchas medina, a worker is not entitled to eat from it. It's too early in the crop development. The kol shekein shomrei mechubar, and all the more so guards of that which is attached are not entitled to eat, even hilchas medina. Dave sha'o she'eno gemar melocha. It's at a point at which it hasn't reached its final stage. V'lav oise maisehu. Two strikes against it. It's not considered an action either. So you have two reasons, we'll say two elements that would preclude a worker from eating from them. Umasnisen, and the Mishnah on the other hand, that speaks about a shomer eating from the fruits mehilchas medina, that's b'shomer tolush. That's where he's guarding something that is detached. So all of this is what Rav Ashi is about to teach us, that Shmuel's approach is most likely. Disnan. V'elu oichlin min haTorah. The following are entitled to eat from the Torah. In other words, it's Torah sanctioned the worker eating. Ha'isa b'mechuba l'karka b'shas gemar melocha. One who is working on produce that is attached, but it's reached its final stage of attachment. Namely, you would be picking them. The worker who is involved with picking the fruits, harvesting the grains, that's the final stage of that product vis-a-vis its attached status. Ubetolush v'chule, and the continuation of that is another situation of a worker entitlement to eat is when he is involved with that which is detached prior to its final stage of production. So from the presentation of the Mishnah that's quoted here, that says these are those that are allowed to eat min haTorah, we can infer michlal deiko delo ka'ochel min haTorah lemilchas medina. There must be others that are entitled to eat not min haTorah, but are eating based on common practice. Amo seifo. And when you read, you continue reading in the Mishnah, you see the elu she'enon oichlin. My einon oichlin. When you say, and these are examples of those that do not eat. When you speak about not allowed to eat, what do you mean by that? Those that don't eat minat Torah but are entitled to eat, that was the subject of the resha. And you can see we dashed underlined that point two lines above. The sefer that speaks of those that don't eat means she'en oichlin lo minat Torah v'lo mehilchus medina umayniu, and who are they that don't have any eating entitlement? Oise b'mechuba l'karka b'shaw she'en gemar malacha. Those that are proactively involved with produce that's attached to the ground, but at a point, at an interim point, at an early stage, namely it hasn't reached the final stage of activity concerning its attachment. So someone who is actually involved with a maisa, proactive work on produce that's still attached and prior to its final stage, he is not eating even mehilchus medina v'kal shekein shomrei ginus v'pardeses. And certainly those that are merely watching, guarding the attached produce in gardens and orchards. That was Shmuel's opinion. So that from the Mishnah, you can infer, you can medayik like Shmuel. Now we have a new Mishnah and a brand new topic is introduced. I say brand new. Truth is that we're going to deal with the four different kinds of shomrim. These are topics that have been dealt with extensively throughout the Masechta. But here you have a Mishnah that presents the basic laws of all four shomrim. The Gemara itself will be presenting sources for the basic halachas that characterize each one of the shomrim, their respective levels of responsibility, and sources that are found in the Torah. So now the Mishnah. Arba shomrim heim. There are four types of guards. Shomer chinam, one who watches for no pay. Vahashoel, the borrower. Nosei Sochar, one who watches for pay. Vahasocher, the renter. Shomer Chinom Nishba Alakul, the unpaid Bailey is not held culpable, responsible for practically anything that befalls the item he is watching, with the exception of behavior that's irresponsible, we call pshia, but other events like theft, loss, breakage, the shomer chinam is not held responsible, provided he swears to that effect. So through swearing that the item was stolen or the item got lost, he is exempt from having to pay. Fashoyo Mishalem Esako. The borrower, on the other hand, the other extreme, swearing is not going to exempt him from any of those events. He is always responsible. There is one exception, which we don't have to mention right now. The Nosei Socher Vasocher. Here you have two of the Shomrim combined or grouped together. Nishboyim al hashvur of al shvuya al hamesa, they can swear and gain exemption from compensating for breakage, taken captive, or item dying. Those are areas that we would call onus, events that were beyond their control. However, they must pay for loss or theft. For those two events, swearing will not enable them to gain any exemption. Now, as we turn to the Gemara, we have a structural note, the Mivneh, where Roman numerals 1 and 2 that appear in the Gemara are explained as Beis Lashonas, two versions, B'She'ilas HaGemara. The Gemara will open with a question. You'll see that there are two versions of what the question ought to be. So the Gemara asks, Man Tana Arba Shomrim. Who is the author that understands that there are four kinds of Shomrim? Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabo Bar Avua, Rebbe Meir Hi. So Rav Nachman says it's in accordance with Rebbe Meir. Omar Le Rava, Le Rav Nachman. Rava responds, reacts to what Rav Nachman just said. Mi Iko Deles Le Arbo'o Shomrim. Is there anyone that does not hold from four Shomrim? The issue of four Shomrim is not a matter of debate for which we have to seek whose opinion is it. It's an objective reality that there are four kinds of Shomrim. So then what is the question? Omar le, hachi kwamin olach. So Rav Nachman explains, thusly I am saying, man tana, who is the Tanaic authority, socher kenose socher, that groups together the renter with the paid bailey, Rebbe Meir he. That's in accordance with Rebbe Meir. The Gemara asks, v'ha Rebbe Meir idcho shamin on le, we have heard Rebbe Meir, but he says the opposite. Desanya, socher ketzad mishalem. How, or with what standard do we apply to the renter? Rebbe Meir omer kishomer chinam. Rebbe Yehuda omer kishomer socher. So you see that Rebbe Meir, he addresses the issue of the socher, but he parallels the socher, or applies the standard of the shomer chinam, the unpaid bailey, to the renter. The Mishnah said that the renter is compared to the paid bailey. So the Gemara answers, Rabo bar avua ipcha kotoni. We didn't emphasize, but Rav Nachman, who's responding to Rava's question, Rav Nachman himself quoted Rabo Bar Avua. So the Gemara points out that Rabo Bar Avua has an opposite version. He has an opposite version of our source. He says that the socher, according to Rebbe Meir, is like the Shomer Socher. So that the Brisa that we just had doesn't present a question. Rabbo Barvua simply has an opposite version. So that when Rav Nachman was asked the question, who is the author that parallels the Socher to a Shomer Socher, who's the author of our Mishnah, where the Socher is parallel to the Shomer Socher? That's Rebbe Meir, according to Rabo Bar Avua's version, where Rebbe Meir holds the Socher is like a Shomer Socher. Ihachi, if the Socher is like the Shomer Socher, Arba Shloshaninu, then there are really three Shomrim. The Shomer Chino, who is Nishbalakol, the Shoel, who is Chayav Alakol, Chayav on everything, obligated to compensate for all matters, and the middle type, the Socher Shomer Socher, that partial exemption, partial obligation. Three categories then. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Dalit Shomrim. There are four different kinds of guards, we'll say by name. However, the Dinehem, the laws that distinguish them, Shlosha. are only three categories. So there are four different kinds of Shomrim by name. But as far as distinguishing laws are concerned, there are only three categories. A new marking appears, a crown shape. On the side of the Gemara, you'll notice a Mivnei structural note. The crown highlights or introduces Gimel Mikrei Shmira, three incidents involving guarding. He'ora L'sim Lev, he'ora means a note to pay attention. L'sakim Hashanim, note the different rulings. Ma Mekoimoi L'tano Shel Mai Havile L'mevad. The Gemara will reveal or mention cases where the circumstances seem to be beyond the guard's control, and we'll ask, well, what could he have done? So you'll see that we have a dashed underlining that highlights that reaction. The Gemara. Ahu Raya Dave Koroi Chiusa. There was a shepherd that was shepherding animals, Aguda Dinar Papa, by the banks of the Papa River. Sorig or Shorig Chada Minayo Venaflis Lamaya. Shorig means slipped. One of the animals slipped and fell into the water. Osa Lakame Daraba Upatre. Omar, my havelei lemevad, honotar kede notri inchi, exempt on the grounds of, well, what could he have done? He guarded the animals as people normally do. He acted within the realm of, say, normal behavior. And as such, as Rashi says at the top, this doesn't come under the category of aveda, loss, but rather onus, something beyond his control. So that this shepherd, even if he happened to be a paid shepherd, he would nevertheless be exempt on the grounds of onus, something beyond his control. Omar le, we continue in the Gemara, Omar le Abaye. Elo me'ato. Well, if explanation of notar kedenatri inshi is reason for exemption. So ol lemaso beidno da'ili inshi hachinami de potter. If the shepherd went into town at the time that people usually go into town, and then something happens to the animals that he was shepherding, will he be exempt because he behaved like others? Omar lay in. So Rabbo says yes. Gona porta beidno de gonu inchi. If he dozed off at the same time that others usually doze off, hochinami de potter, are you going to say he is exempt because it's like the way of people? He behaved like others. Omar lay in. So Rabbo says yes. Well, we now have a new marking. You'll notice a triangle, and as you skim down, many triangles appear, and you'll notice how they, each one appears in an opposite direction, each succeeding triangle. This is, of course, Ma'akav, as we can see on the side of the Gemara under our Mivneh heading, an attempt to keep track, in this case, of a rather vigorous give and take structure Gemara. With the point facing up, they represent Kushyos al Rabbo, challenges to Rabbo, and the inverted triangle, Tshuvos of his responses. There's going to be a subtopic that we'll see very shortly in the Gemara, Chazne Masa. Chazne Masa are guards hired to guard the town at night, night guards of a community. We will see that there's an expectation from them, an expectation of them to watch with greater diligence than standard guards would be expected. Well, now the Gemara. Eisvei. So up till now, we're claiming that if you function as within the realm of normal people behavior, and something happens, you will be exempt. Well, Eisvei Eluheim, Onsin, Shishomer Socher Potra Lehem. The following are examples of ones, something beyond one's control that the paid baili will be exempt. Kagon vatipol shva vatikochem es hanorim hiku lefi chorav. This is a pasuk from Eov, who suffered great loss. He was plundered. The pasuk mentions that shva plundered him and took away his animals and beat his youth, beat them by the sword. What we see from here is that a Shomer Sochar is not going to enjoy exemption unless the onus, the circumstances beyond his control, were rather extreme. That's a far cry from the lenient standard that Rabbah provided, namely exemption in the case of loss, as long as you behave like other people behave. Omarle, so Rabbah answers, Hasam bechaznei masa. The Shomer Socher that was featured in the source that we just saw was not your standard Shomer Socher, but the town guards who guard at night, where the entire population relies on them for their physical and financial protection. People like that certainly have to go out of their way. Anything less than that, in their case, results in responsibility and culpability. Eisvei. So we ask again on Rabbah. Ad mosai shomer socher chayav lishmor. Up till what point is a paid baili expected to watch? Ad kidei. And here again we quote a pasuk, but it's the experience that we want to extract from here. Until... this is a pasuk that Yankov Avinu said to Lavan in demonstrating how far he went in protecting Lavan's flocks. Hayisi bayom achaloni chorev v'kerach balayla. At night I withstood intense heat, and at night in extreme cold. So you see that a shomer sachar is obligated to extend himself much more than what Rabbah suggested. Omarle, Rabbah answers, Hosam nami b'chazne masa. That is describing what we mentioned just a moment before, the chazne masa, the town guards. Omarle, so Abaye asks, Otu yankiv ovinu chazen masa have, was our forefather, patriarch, Jacob, a town guard? Rabbah explains, in that scenario, Yankov Avinu explained to Lavan, the Omar Le Lavan, Yankov said to Lavan, Natri Loch Netirusa Yiserta Kechazne Masa. I watched your flock in an extreme way, like a town guard. So not that Yankov Avinu was actually the town guard, but he was describing how much he put himself out for the benefit of Lavan's holdings, Lavan's animals, that he extended himself as if he were a town guard. But a standard paid baili is not expected to go that far, but rather to behave as other people would regarding their items. Eisvei. Again, a question on Rabbah. Notice we have a long question marking. Roe Shehoya Roya. a shepherd who was shepherding animals, v'niach edro bolir, and he left his flock and entered the city. So he left them grazing. Boze v'toraf, and a wolf came and killed. Ubo ari v'doras, or a lion came and killed those animals. Ein oimden ilu hoya shom hoya matzil. We don't make an evaluation. There's another girsa that says, Ein omrim. We don't say, had he been there, he would have been able to save the flock. Ela omden oso, rather we evaluate. Im yocho lahatzil chayav. If he could have saved, and he wasn't there, if he could have saved, he would be culpable. Vim lav, even if he had been there, he wouldn't have been able to save them. Potter, he would be exempt. Now, what are the circumstances here? When we describe the roe, the shepherd that went into town, my lav, the earl, the idna, the aili inshi, he went into town as at the same time that others normally enter town. And we see here, chayav, we see culpability. Rabbah said that if the shepherd leaves his animals and goes into town at the time that all others do so, he would be exempt. Lo, that's not the case. De'o b'idna de'lo aili inshi. He left his flock alone at a and went into town at a time that others stay with their flocks. Ihochi amai potter. We said in the source that if he was there and would not have been able to save them, so he's exempt. Why should he enjoy exemption? Here is a case where his departure at an unacceptable time, that's an act of irresponsibility. True, in the end, had he been there, he wouldn't have been able to do anything. And at the end, we see it's an onus. But since the beginning stage was an act of irresponsibility, namely entering town at a time that others do not go into town, that would be chayev. But why does the source say that had he been there and not been able to save them, he would be exempt? He doesn't deserve exemption. The Gemara said, answers, Deshoma kol aryeh v'ol. He heard the roar of a lion, and out of fear of the lion, he left them. That is onus. That's a case of something beyond his control. And that's why he is exempt. Ihachi, if that's the case, why does the source indicate omdin oso, that we subject the shepherd to an evaluation? My havei leila mevad, what could he have done? The answer is hoya lo lekade b'royam uvamaklos. There's something he could have done had he been there. He could have had other shepherds come forward with sticks and ward off the lion. Well, then ihachi my ir yeshom esachar. If those are the circumstances, and why does the source feature a paid Bailey? Afilu shomer chinam nami, even had he been an unpaid Bailey, to more who the Omer, you, Rabbah, said, shomer chinam shoyalo lekadeh b'royim v'makloiz v'lo kideim chayav. Even an unpaid Bailey that could have brought other shepherds with sticks and didn't do so is culpable. The Rabbah answers, why does the source feature a Shomer Socher? Because Shomer Chinam Bechinam. The idea of having other shepherds come along with him with sticks, if he had been a Shomer Chinam, then all he would have been expected to do is to try to gather others for free, without pay. Shomer Socher Beschar. If, however, you're a paid Bailey, you would be expected to hire others for pay. The ad kama, and how much would the shomer have been expected to lay out? Ad kidei demayim, up till their value. After the value of the animals. V'heichon motzinu b'shemer socher shechayav bonson. Where do we have the basis or the precedent for saying that a shomer socher is obligated to compensate in cases of onus? Now, the question is, we have to just explain a little bit more. Why is it that we would expect the shomer to pay and hire others from out of pocket in cases that are otherwise beyond his control? Where do we find that? Answer: the hoder shokil demand mi baal habayis. It's not as if the shomer socher is going to lay out money out of pocket and that's it, we're giving us the impression that he is chayav in the case of Olson, because he will then recover the money that he laid out from the owner. He doesn't have to expected to pay out of pocket and experience a loss in a case of onus. He recovers what he laid out from the owner. Omar le Rav Papa Labaye, Ihochi, my ahani le mino. If the owner is going to end up having to pay for the entire value of his flock, because that's what the Shomer Socher had to lay out in order to hire Shomrim to ward off the threat, what benefit does the Balabayas have from all of this if he's going to have to pay? Nafka mina, the practical result and practical benefit, the koshra the chiyusa, inami l'tircha yaserta. We look in Rashi. The Rashi that we're looking at is less than halfway down the Rashi commentary. The koshra the chiyusa, kosher habehemois shemakir bahen kvar ulamudois beveso. Beyond the market value of animals, there's also the familiarity the animals have with their owner. So that a man that has owned animals for a while, there's a level of familiarity and cooperativeness that exists between them, that it's worth it to the owner to lay out the money that corresponds to their value, with the result of him preserving those very animals that he is already familiar with, or they are familiar with him. Inami l'tircha yaserta. Rashi says l'tircha yaserta shelo yitzarech lachzor achar behemos liknos, by the shepherd laying out the money and hiring others to ward off the threat. In the case that that's successful, so the owner is saved the trouble of having to otherwise go out and buy new animals. So it's worth it to the owner to, in fact, pay their value instead of the shomer otherwise, if he wouldn't be able to recover costs, so he would have had to, he would have yielded to the threat. The animals would have been destroyed, and the owner would have had to lay out that same amount of money, but trouble himself to find new animals. So there is benefit in the shomer laying out the money, receiving compensation from the owner at the end of the day. Rav Chista v'Rabba b'Rav Huna lo sevira luhu ha d'Rabba. These additional Amoraim do not agree with Rabba. If you recall, at the bottom of Omid Aleph, Rabba exempted the shepherd on the grounds that he behaved like others behave. The Amri, they who are more stringent, explain, Lahochiyavi Loch Agra. The owner can say to the shomer, that's the reason I'm paying you a fee, Linturi Lina Tirusi Yaserta, to watch my animals in a more extended fashion. The Tirusa is guarding, you start to extra guarding. More care than people behave normally. It's interesting that the expression at Tirusa Yaserta is the expression we saw before. in Rabbah's presentation of the Chazne Masa. Another crown marking, Bar Ada Svola Havakamavir Chiyusa. Bar Ada is the gentleman's name. Svola is, generally speaking, someone who, a sabol is someone who generally is involved with transporting items. He, in this case, was responsible for having animals cross. Gamla is a narrow bridge, the Narish. Narish is the name of a bridge at that location. It's the name of a location. So he was having animals cross the Gesher, the bridge at Narish. Dachva chado lechaverta v'shadisa b'maya. One animal pushed the other off and cast it into the water. Also lekame derav papa chayve. The case came to Rav Papa and he obligated Bar Ada to compensate. Omar le. So Bar Ada tried to say in his own defense, my havi li lemeva, what could I have done? Omar le, Rav Papa says, iboya loch lavure chada chada. You should have made sure the animals go over in single file, one by one. Omar le, yadis bay bebar achtech de motzi lemevar chado chado. There's an expression here, bar achtech, literally translated, means the son of your sister. But Rashi explains it means a fellow Jew, a member of your nation. So the Bar Ada says, and you know that I, a member of your people, could have done so. Omar le, Rav Papa's response, kvart sovchu kamoi de kamoch v'lo iko de ashkach b'hu. There are those that came before you, and sovchu means they screamed out, they cried out in their own attempt, self-defense, but no one listens to them. Very simply put, if you would have extended yourself, you would have seen to it that the animals would have passed over the bridge in single file, and allowing a situation where one animal would squeeze in and next to another animal and push it and cast it into the water, that's an act for which you are held culpable. Another Shomer incident. Ivo, that's a name, Ivo Afkid Kisna Bay Runya. Ivo entrusted Kisna, flax. Flax is the plant from which linens are eventually made. So he entrusted Kisna Bay Runya, by Runya, and Rashi points out that Runya, it's a name, he was a Shomer Chinam. He was an unpaid Bailey. Ozal, this is a name as well, Shavu. Shavu is the name of a thief. Shamte Mine, and he made off with the Kisna. Lesof Hukur Haganov, the thief's identity later became known. Also lekame de Rav Nachman chayvei, and the case came in front of Rav Nachman, and he obligated Runya to compensate. Lema, I should point out, by the way, we didn't mention this earlier, but we have a double underline marking that highlights chayvei. Hashomrin is chayv l'shalim. These are cases just like we saw before by Bar Ada. He was, the ruling was he has to compensate. Here you have Runya being ordered to compensate by Rav Nachman. Lema pliga de Rav Huna Bar Ovin. Shall we say that this is at odds with Rav Huna Bar Ovin's teaching? Now we should point out that Rashi says under Dibur Masel Chayve L'Shalem, Rav Nachman ordered Runya to pay. Hayo v'hukara Ganov, since the Ganov's identity, the thief's identity became known, v'lo yafsid klum, he won't lose anything. Olav litrocha haraganov ad shiotzi miyado. It's therefore his obligation to seek out the ganav until he can extract from him. So in the meantime, so Rav Nachman is saying, you have to pay. And as the guard will eventually, you will pursue the thief and extract payment or compensation from him. So the Gemara is asking now, we have a long question marking, should we say that this ruling is at odds or against Rav Huna Bar Oven? To Sholach Rav Huna Bar Oven, Nigneva Boines, V'achaka Chukar Aganov, if an item that was being watched was stolen through circumstances beyond his control, and then the thief's identity became known, Im Shemer Chinam Hu, if he's an unpaid Bailey, Rotza Nishba, Rotza Isimodin. Rav Huna Bar Oven says he has the option of swearing and gaining exemption, or he could have paid and then received compensation later on. This point of Rotza Nishba, this option, would seem to be at odds with Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman ordered the Shomer, the Shomer Chinam, to pay. And here you see Rav Huna Bar Oven presenting the option of swearing and being exempt. The Gemara continues, Im Shomer Socher Hu, Oise Imodin V'Eino Nishba. If the thief took place from the house of a paid Bailey, so then he has to pay and he'll gain compensation from the thief later. The question, though, has been raised that Rav Nachman's, we'll say, seemingly stringent ruling on the Shomer Chinam is at odds with Rav Huna Bar Oven's ruling. Omar Rava Hassam, in the case of Rav Nachman, where he ordered the Shomer Chinam to pay, Gavri de Parmusko Havukaimi, that's a word referring to the police were there. The Irama Kala had Runya, the guard, raised his voice, calling the attention of the police. Hava Asu Matzlane, they would have come and saved the item from theft. And since he didn't do that, so Rav Nachman ordered the Shomer Chinam to compensate. Before we go further into the new Mishnah, I want to correct a mistake that I mentioned earlier, that I made earlier. In introducing the Mishnah of Valid Shomrim, I mentioned that the Gemara would present sources from the Torah for the various halachas. The Gemara will do so, but not in today's shir. Rather, Mirtzei Shaman Daf Tzadi Dalid Omid Beis, the Gemara mentions our Mishnah, quotes our Mishnah of the Arba Shomrim, and there the Gemara deals with the sources from the scriptures. So the Gemara will produce the sources coming off of our Mishnah, but not in today's shir. Mirtzei Shem, when the Mishnah is quoted, as we just said, on the Apsani Dalet Amud Beis, we'll see the sources. Now, the Mishnah. Before doing the Mishnah, we glance at the side. We have a very brief topic heading, the Nosei, which reads, Dugmois Shel Oines, examples of circumstances that we could classify as Oines. And as we said, in the case of the Shomer Socher, he would be exempt. The Mishnah. Ze'ev echad eino ones, shnei ze'evim ones. The threat of one, a lone wolf, does not constitute ones. Two wolves would be ones. Rabbi Omer, b'shas mishlacha ze'evim, at a time when there's a type of, we'll say, plague of wolves. Rashi says, "B'shas mishlacha zevim shechaya ro mishulachas b'gzeres hamelech kifetzitzi al odom echad," where it appears like the hand of God is involved. That's Mishlachas Zeven. Literally, the wolves have been sent from on high, from God. So even one wolf under in a case like that represents Oinus. Shnei Klovim Eino Oinus. Two dogs does not constitute Oinus. Yodua HaBavli Oimer Mishum Rebbe Meir. Yodua HaBavli is his name, a person's name. He says in the name of Rebbe Meir, Meiruach Achas Eino Oinus. Bishnei Ruchois Oinus. If they come from one direction, that's not called Ones. But if they come from two different directions, then it would appear that he's referring to the issue of the dogs. Two dogs, but each one coming from a different direction, that is an Ones, even though it's an issue of two dogs. Halistim hare ze Ones. The term listim is the reference to a thief, a bandit. You find often in the Gemara a reference to list and mizuim, armed bandits. And here we have a list of creatures, five animals: Hoari, Hadov, Vanomer, Vabardalis, Vanochosh, Hare, Elu, Oines. These animals, amongst which we have a lion, a bear, a leopard, a serpent, and a... One of them was mentioned here was a Bartalus. Rashi gives you a French word for that. They represent an Oinus. So that even if you were a hired guard and one of these were threatening, you could basically run to save yourself, even though the animal or the item that you were hired to watch is ruined or destroyed. Amosai, when do we say that they are an Ones? Bisman Shebo Me'aleim. That's when they came on your own. You were watching them and they approached you. Avahoylichan lemokim gedude chayav alistim eino Ones. If you took the items, the animals under your watch to an area where packs of wild animals and, we'll say, bad neighborhoods were thieves, Rome, and then something happens, that's not an Ones. Mesa kedarko hare ze Ones. If you were watching an animal and it simply dropped dead in a normal fashion, that's an Ones. Sogfa umesa, if you subjected the animal to pain, hunger, or you put the animal out under climactic conditions that were harsh, whether too hot, too cold, and the animal died, eino ones, that would not be an ones. Also, the roshe tsukin v'nofla hareze ones. If the animal on its own went up to a cliff and fell, that's an ones. Halo the roshe tsukin v'nofla mesa eino ones. If you brought the animal up to a cliff and it fell and died, that's not an Ones. We ask, V'ho Tanya Zeiv Echad Ones, above at the first line of Mishnah, we have a little star to the side of the Gemara text, you can align it with the star above. There, the Mishnah said, one Zeiv is not an Ones, and here we have a Tanaic source that says a singular Zeiv, a singular wolf, does present an Ones. Omar Rav Navar Yitzhak, he... This brisa b'shas mishlachas zevim for Rebbe Yehuda hi. This describes a case where there is a general wolf threat that exists, as we described before. Wolves are found attacking left and right. In a case like that, even a singular zev represents an onus in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda's teaching. So the very brief brisa that we saw at the beginning of this line is authored by Rebbe Yehuda. He, of course, appeared in the Mishnah. Halistim hare ze oines. The bandit is considered a circumstance of onus, beyond the shomer's control. Umas amai. Why is it considered beyond his control? Luki gavro lahadi gavro. Let one man stand up against the other, man for man. Omar rab, balistim izuyun. So Rav explains the listim that's viewed as categorized as Ones, he's an armed bandit. So we don't expect the shomer to risk his life in the face of weapons. Let us say you have an armed shepherd who's confronted by an armed bandit. There are two sides of the question. Mi amrinon uki gavro lahadi gavro. Do we say pit man against man? They're, we'll call them on equal footing, and he would not be, it wouldn't be called an onus. O dilma hai moser nafshe v'hai lo moser nafshe. Or do we say that a person who's coming with arms, willing to risk his life to steal whatever he's interested in gaining, he will put himself out more. He's willing to risk more than we could expect of a shepherd. The shepherd, though he's armed, isn't going to be risking himself so much, go out on the limb as much as the armed bandit. So it's, they're not two people on equal footing. The Stabra, the Gemara answers, the high mosar nafshe, the high low mosar nafshe, that even though the shepherd is armed, he's not going to be putting himself out as much as the armed bandit, and therefore we can still categorize it as onus. Amale Abaye l'Rava. Abaye asks Rava, Ashkeche roya v'omale. The shepherd meets up with the ganav, with the thief, before the thief took anything. And this shepherd starts to rant and rave. Ganav Sarya, you lowly, rotten thief. Beduchta Planyo Yisavinon. We are encamped in such and such a place. We continue at the top of the Tzadi Dalet. Kach v'kach gavri kobadon. And this shepherd goes and tells the thief, we have this and this number of men with us. Rashi says at the top, kach v'kach anoshim imonu b'mokom sh'onu roim sham im tovo ligzoil tomus. We have this and this number of people raising animals in that particular place, and if you come to steal, we'll kill you. Kach v'kach, we continue in the Gemara, kach v'kach kalbi iko badon. And this shepherd continues ranting at the potential thief, saying, and we've got this and this number of dogs. Kach v'kach zuksa psikolon. And we have this and this number of zuksa. These are slingshots that hurl stones at any threat. After hearing all of that, v'ozal v'shokamineh, the thief then goes and in fact steals. My, what's the din? How do we regard the shepherd that was sharing all this information while cursing out the potential thief? Omar Leh, Rava says, this shepherd was a fool. He says, Hare holichon lamokam gedudei chaya v'listim, paraphrasing the Mishnah, he says it's this shepherd was tantamount to bringing the animals that were under his watch to the place of thieves and wild animals. By revealing all of his secrets, Rashi adds, he taunted and say seduced this thief to come and in fact plunder them. I think it's quite obvious. You can add that he also revealed all of his we'll say his military secrets. I say military as a borrowed expression. He revealed all of his security provisions, thereby enabling the thief to take all of that into consideration and circumvent them, enabling him to successfully commit the theft. And as such, he, this shepherd, is held responsible. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.